Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. If you miss any part of the show, you can always grab the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just put in Sports Junkies. Of course, we had Coach Dan Quinn on the show at 8 o'clock, so you could play that interview if you missed it. Joining us right now is our pal Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. Hey, Barry.
What's up, guys?
How are you, man?
We've been talking a lot about Mackenzie Gore lately and whether the Nationals would deal him. What is your sense heading into this trade deadline?
So I don't think he will get dealt, but I think they should be listening really hard. It's a different position for Mike DiBartolo because he doesn't have the job permanently. And I think this is such a large decision that it should be probably made by the person who's going to be the architect of the club going forward. That might be DiBartolo in the end, but we don't know that now. And so it really comes down to an ownership decision. But I think there's a really good case that if they could get kind of a franchise changing package in return, that the counterintuitive thing is to trade him. And I think you have to be realizing where they are and where they're likely to be in the next couple of years. Gore is a free agent after the 2027 season. He's a Scott Boras client. Really highly unlikely that he's going to be signing an extension here, not only because he's a Boras client and they don't tend to do that other than Strasburg, but because it's not a particularly appealing place to sign a long-term deal right now. So you're wondering, are you going to be – they're on pace to lose 90-something games for the fifth straight season. Getting into contention – from there represents a 20-win improvement at some point over the next 2 years. Maybe you could do that by 2027 when Gore would be in his walk year and he'd be wondering, okay, wait, are we going to deal him as a rental player now? He's never going to be more valuable than he is over the next 2 days before this trade deadline because he'd be available to a buying team for three postseasons. But it just feels too big of a job for an interim guy to go to ownership and say, look, this is what I can get in return, and this is what how I think this will impact the franchise in the long term going forward, whether I'm running the show or not.
Do you think
what if it's just a situation where I heard some rumors that the Nats may hire a president of baseball ops, so maybe DiBartolo could still keep his GM title, but someone would be above him. And if he makes kind of a big splashy move like this, where you get four or five players for Gore. If Gore went to the Yankees or the Dodgers, teams that are going to the playoffs that could use another arm, I would think that they would give up a nice little haul for Gore. And you're right. If you're going to trade him, you got to do it this year. Next year, that makes sense.
I think you hit on a lot of good points, Jason. Like if Mike DiBartolo wants to put his stamp on, look, this is how I would do the job, he can go to ownership and say, I'm telling you, whether you're going to hire me or not, this is a good deal for your franchise, regardless of who's running it. And you've got to remember, Mike Rizzo pulled the trigger on the Juan Soto trade, but Mike DiBartolo was very, very involved in identifying the prospects and pushing for more. Riz pushed for more too from AJ Preller. They had the right guy on the end of on the other end of the line with San Diego. But we've seen this movie. It's very, very difficult. And Soto was a homegrown star that had a lot. Won a World Series here and had a lot more attachment to the fan base. But the blueprint is there. He was at his 4-plus year of service time, available for three postseasons to the buying team. It's the exact same trajectory. Does Mackenzie Gore command as much in return? as Juan Soto? Probably not. But if you get two really, really, you know, they got three all-stars in that trade. I mean, that's it's hard to argue that they didn't do great in that trade, and they probably can't. They're not going to get three future all-stars in return for Mackenzie Gore. But this is the guy that if he were dealt would totally blow up the trade deadline, because if it's the Cubs or the Yankees or the Dodgers, whoever got him, not only would be like, okay, we're boosted over the final 2 months of this season and into the postseason, but we've got a potential number one or two starter for the next two seasons. It really would rock the league.
So do you think it's going to happen?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I think it's, I'll go back to what I said originally, like, I think it's too big for an interim guy and for ownership to say to the interim guy, because I still feel like ownership is detached, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe they're committed to winning and all that kind of stuff. But it really would be Mike DiBartolo going to the Lerner family and saying, here's my recommendation. Here's what I have. Mm-hmm. And they would be had to confer, you know, in the next 48 hours and get their, you know, everything aligned there. That's very, very difficult for them to do. And Jason, while you're right that they, you know, trading him now is he's at the highest value he'll ever have. That's correct. A new GM, a permanent president of baseball operations, whether Mike DiBartolo was there or not, could still consider trading him in this off season when his value would be not as high as today, but would still be pretty high because you get two full seasons out of him. Plus, you know, if you're a contending team, and that's who would be trading for him, hopefully two postseasons.
True.
There'd still be real value there.
True, yeah.
Barry, are we to assume that the Lerners, like this team is truly off the market, or is that just kind of a face-saving thing, and they secretly can't wait to get rid of this thing?
So, Eric, I think it's like there's a lot of tension there within the group. So, you know, some people who see it as, like Mark Lerner, I believe really loves owning the team. He's such a fan. He's really mm-hmm. invested emotionally. But I think there are other, you know, characters in the family who, you know, maybe see it just as an asset. Like that is something that we own, and eventually we'll sell it for more than we paid, and it will have been a good investment. And I think there are people who consider it something of a burden that it's not making money at the rate that they are accustomed to. Their investments making money. And, you know, so I think that's part of the problem, is it's very difficult to get this group to agree and get them all on the same page. And as I've said all along, they lost their North Star, their guiding light, when Ted Lerner passed away. Obviously that was inevitable. I think he was 97 when he died, but that is, it's almost impossible to overstate how that changed the dynamics of the ownership group. And I will always say, Eric, too, that, well, they can say that they're off the market. I think what's important is that I don't know what their number is that they would sell at, but mm-hmm. if someone walked up to them today and said, here's the number, I think they would come to very quick agreement. Like, we got our number. My understanding is that number is way more than what we would think is reasonable, given that the Mets sold for $2.35 billion.
Right.
But I think they'd do the deal in a second if they got whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Barry, who are the locks to get dealt before the trade deadline tomorrow?
I mean,
it's Finnegan, right?
Finnegan, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked. And here's the hard thing about Finnegan is like, and this is part of the reason he wasn't dealt at the deadline last year, is like, all of his underlying numbers are not good. He's a lot of fly balls, not enough strikeouts. You know, his saves are there, but any smart front office is not being like, oh, this guy like has whatever it is, 20 saves and 26 chances. I don't even know if that's accurate, but they're not looking at that. I think that it could be difficult to come to an agreement on his value because he's closing for this bad team. Mm-hmm. And I think any real contending team is probably looking to acquire him as a seventh or eighth inning guy. But I also think that DiBartolo is going to be aggressive with the very few assets that he has. And he there's nothing to keep, no one you should keep for the final 2 months of this season if you can get an interesting piece in return. And, you know, Rizzo had a history of doing that. Like, Lane Thomas was a pretty good outfielder here. He got him for an about to retire John Lester. Like, right. You're not going to get James Wood today. You're not going to get Mackenzie Gore today for a half a season to Kyle Finnegan, but you might get an Alex Clemmy, a pitcher in their minor league system who they got in the Lane Thomas deal to Cleveland, who's one of their better prospects now. So that's what you're looking for. I think that, you know, if you could get a bag of baseballs for Josh Bell, you could take a bag of baseballs for Josh Bell. Anybody who's on an expiring contract right. is really highly likely to be dealt in the next couple of days.
Talking to Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. So a week ago, you wrote a column about Terry McLaurin's holdout, and you said, it's a concern, but not a crisis. When does it become a crisis for the Washington Commanders?
I think every day it gets closer to that, and I'm not there yet because the long view is, you know, we're 6 weeks from opening day, and I don't think it's a crisis, a real crisis, until you get to maybe coming out of that last preseason game. Here's the thing, you know, in all the discussions about whether it's a crisis or how concerning it is, like, the person we're talking about matters, I think, and talking about, you know, this isn't a malcontent. This isn't a guy who's looking to make waves for the sake of making waves. This is a stand-up model citizen who is outlining that he has a clear idea of what he thinks his value is. Mm-hmm. Part of it not being a crisis is because I am pretty certain that Terry McLaurin is taking care of his body and putting in the work. And actually, not, you know, we know now he's in team meetings and position meetings, so he's not missing stuff like that. I think we're a good 3-4 weeks from it being a real crisis. But I'll add this too, and I think we've all kind of talked about this over the course of the offseason as Terry didn't have a new deal. It's pretty apparent that DK Metcalf contract is a problem because Terry can say, this is what that guy signed for, AAV of $33 million, guarantee of 60, 4 years, 120 something, mm-hmm. and put his numbers up and say, not only do I have better numbers, but I'm more available. I haven't missed a game since 2020. You know, I mean, more to your franchise than a new guy, DK Metcalf coming from Seattle, means to the Steelers. And I think the Commanders can say, they signed a bad contract. We don't have to sign a bad contract. So we're not, Terry, we love you, but just because they did bad business doesn't mean we're going to. I think there's some real pushes and pulls because of that one deal in Pittsburgh.
But can't we, I kind of feel like, I don't think the team's going to budge much, by the way. I've just kind of learned. I mean, we even see Trey Hendrickson, who seemed the most resolute. He bailed, right? He's like, hey, I'm coming back. I'm, you know, no more of these fines. You know, I'll take the money and we'll pray something happens. But don't we just assume, like, I don't think it's going to reach a crisis, Barry, because we all know Terry's not stupid. He's not going to pass up $16 million or $18 million, whatever the hell they're supposed to pay him this year. He's going to play.
I think he's going to play on a new deal. Like, I don't think he's going to play on the existing deal. I think at some point, Eric, he's going to realize, like, how do these guys have to look at those contracts? Don't look at the 120 something total. Look at what's guaranteed. And if the guarantee is, you know, the next 2 years at 33 per or 32 per, 31
per. Oh, that would get it done. That would get it done.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, that's where we're going to land, is some sort of guarantee that is more than Metcalf, but maybe not a 4-year AAV. Because I do think, like, because Terry is who he is and because he takes care of himself so well and he's so available, that I think he's going to have value. I know he's going to be 30 this year, but I think he'll have value at 33.
I agree.
He's never been, like, burst and speed and getting downfield. While he can do it, that's not the, like, defining aspect of his game, the thing that's likely to go away. He makes tough catches over the middle, in traffic, all that kind
right.
of stuff. So I think he's going to have value 3 years from now. I just feel like they're going to get to a number where Terry says, oh my gosh, you know, what am I doing? I will have, you know, this X million dollars guaranteed right. me over the next 2 or 3 years, and that's life changing. That's defining. That'll be my final big deal. I've got to take
But they're
that.
Way away yeah. from that. It looks like the Sutton deal, like the guaranteed money was like $40 million.
Yeah, 41.
Like it's nowhere near what Terry's looking for. Nowhere near.
No, but I also think Terry could be like Sutton. Like, why is he in the conversation? Same conversation as me. He's had 1,000-yard season before last year. Like the numbers from last year look very, very similar. Terry had 13 touchdowns. Sutton had 8, so he beat him there. But they're almost identical other than that. But Terry's body of work is way more consistent than
I
Sutton
agree.
Is.
But they're the same age, and it's just I just felt like that deal hurt Terry's position.
It could have, sure, but I also think like maybe the discussion becomes, okay, look, Sutton got is bringing your deal down. Metcalf, you want to bring your deal up. What we're going to talk about is right in the middle there, guys. Like that's like if those are the data points, then I think they can. It actually maybe helps them come to a deal because you're saying, okay, this is a bad deal for the player and this is a bad deal for the team. Let's make a good deal for both sides and everybody will be happy.
You would think $30 million. $30 million a year.
But, for sure.
I don't think the Commanders are there.
All right, Barry, we got to run. Good stuff.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks,
thank
Barry.
You, buddy.
It's Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. Doesn't believe that the Nationals will trade Mackenzie Gore. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, if you're not going to trade him this year and you're going to trade him next year, like, I mean, unless Barry's right and they trade him in the offseason, you get a pretty
they
good
need to unload him.
But next year, you're not going to get anything.
All right, we'll come back with more here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.